The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Doing okay on this wonderful Sunday morning.
They're finally starting to be wonderful, yes. Instead of gray and cloudy and cold outside, the sun is blazing in my window.
I'm doing this remotely from the beach.
Oh, you're on the beach.
At the beach.
At Sandpoint Beach?
Yeah, you do say on the beach, don't you? Is it on the beach or at the beach? On the beach.
Well, it could be both ways, maybe.
Save it for the summer show. Summer fun show.
No saving. We're doing it all.
Did you get that down in your list? The summer fun show? No. Fun to do in the summer?
I don't know that that is worthy.
I don't know. I think that it is. You know why?
Why is that?
Because we should maybe have a party and do things that you did as a kid in the summertime. So playing in the mud on a rainy day, mud puddles with boots on, slip and slide.
Wow.
Kick the can. Hide
you
and
always
seek.
Always want to go back, eh, Big JD?
I want to go back, but I can't go back. I know.
What is that?
Oh, I'm going to give you three guesses. He's a very funny singer.
He's a funny singer.
Yeah. Kind of fits in with the show today, almost. Yeah.
A funny singer.
He's a funny guy. He doesn't sing funny songs.
Okay.
Used to be a cop.
Oh, Eddie Money.
There you go. You know the song now, though?
I can't go back. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to go back.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. A little trivia for the kids out there this morning.
And if you want to listen to Eddie Money interview that Big JD had a part in, is that stuff still up, Big JD?
Yeah. SouthDetroitSoundHouse.com.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning. This week's topic, Big JD, are you ready to laugh?
Oh, not yet?
No.
Okay.
It's about comedy. We're going to be talking where comedy came from and some of the most popular stand-up comics out there and any other funny things that Big JD can come up with, because I'm not a funny guy. I'm just funny looking.
It's going to be a fun show for sure. And you talking to me interview this week with comedian and shocking life observationist Malicious Mel Lucier from Windsor, Ontario, Canada. It's going to be a fun one. And this is REM, King of Comedy.
Make your money with a suit and a tie. Make your money with a true denial. Make your money we
There you go. A little REM for you on your Sunday morning. For those of you that might be still in REM right now, REM sleep.
That's what they called the band after.
Rapid Eye Movement. That's another show, isn't it?
Sleep.
Yeah.
A sleep show?
Yeah.
All right. I'll write her down.
I think we're going to get a bigger list than we can handle.
Well, if we come up with more topics than, like if we come up with two today, then yeah, we're always doubling and then they'll be never ending.
We'll have multi-topic shows. One topic every 5 minutes. Oh, there's a show. Speed topic. You know what I mean? Like speed dating or whatever those things are. Speed network.
Evelyn Woods sped reading.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, you got some of that coming up in the show too, I know. I think that we should have a show that is something like that. Something where we should have a little game on our show every week. So speed topic. I give you a topic and you got to talk about it for 30 seconds and then back and forth.
All right. I'll write that down.
That would be kind of neat. Then you're supposed to be doing a song on every show.
What?
Remember you were going to do a song on every show, like just play your acoustic guitar and sing something?
Right. And what was I supposed to sing? Just something about the
I don't know. Topic? I don't even know if it had to be a topic, did it? You could just do anything you want, really. I was going to give you the song to do, but I don't want you to like, have to really learn something like every week, you know what I mean?
Right, that's...
Maybe you play something that you know, or even like a verse, chorus kind of thing, and you don't have to play the whole thing.
That sounds amazing, especially with my voice.
You know who you sound like? I told you this before. Do you remember who I told you sound like?
James Hetfield.
Yeah.
Well, I know I don't sound like him when I'm talking, but maybe when I'm singing.
You actually do a little bit when you're talking too, but you should try, I don't know if you guys do any Metallica at all.
We do, and Dan doesn't sing it. Our drummer used to sing it, but our drummer bit the dust.
What was it, Enter Sandman or something?
No, we did two tunes. We did
Motor,
For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Oh, okay. That's a cool song.
And Ain't My Bitch.
Yeah, you should sing them or one at some point. New drummer won't sing them.
Probably not. No, you want to be a drummer?
Yeah, no, you want to be a bass player?
Sure.
Okay, you're in world tour.
So, what do you want to start with on the comedy scene here?
Well, I think we should probably talk about what comedy actually is. You know, what is the definition of comedy? We know comedy, we refer to it as a comedian or a stand-up, a show, something like that. But what does it actually mean?
Comedy back in the old days was oftentimes something that would make you laugh, but in the end it was tragic. I'm not sure how far back you wanted to go, but I know in Shakespeare's time, that was the thing that people used to go see. To make them feel better, because times back then were pretty dire and not all that, people died at a young age and it wasn't good. So they would hold these comedies and oftentimes they would end up tragic comedies. And then there was romantic comedies and
that all still carries over today because we have, romantic comedy films and, mixes genre with comedy.
And same with even on stage, there's still comedies that are produced for stage to this day, for sure.
So in a modern sense, comedy is from the Greek word komoidia. Sounds like I might have had that once when I was a teenager, but no, I'm just kidding. Komoidia. Maybe that's where the Three Stooges got the almoidia from.
Maybe.
I jest, but refers to any discourse or work generally intended to be humorous or amusing by inducing laughter, especially in the theater, television, film, stand-up comedy, or any other medium of entertainment.
Right. Aristotle, who my dad was a big fan of, my dad was a philosophy professor, and I didn't realize that Aristotle played such a big part in telling people what stuff was, but he defined comedy as an imitation of men worse than the average. Where tragedy was an imitation of men better than the average. But the characters portrayed in comedies were not worse than the average in every way, insofar as they were ridiculous, which is a species of the ugly. And oftentimes, that's funny.
Wow, a lot of averages going on there.
All right, we're going to play a little music here. This is Funny Man by Katie Tunstall.
Locked inside your head, do you realize the things you said never made sense? We can sit here and laugh, but we don't know the half of it in your defense. it seems to me each time you smile, lights are coming on. But they don't burn too strong, and they won't stay for long, and then they're gone again. Funny man, got a plan to be something wonderful. Funny man, listening to the world turning on itself, tuning in to a brand new universe. Funny man, could never be anything
In all honesty, I don't know that much about Katie Tunstall, but I like that song that she did for one of those Apple events about the cherry tree. I think it's maybe called Cherry Tree.
Yeah.
She's pretty good. She used the looper.
What?
Looper pedal. Looper thing and everything. She just did it all by herself, right?
Yeah, right.
So yeah, Katie Tunstall there for your Sunday morning listening pleasure. So we're talking about comedy on the show today. Were you talking about, or reminded me at least of Shakespearean time and Englishness, but...
Yeah.
It seems that comedy and the word comedy, you know, it's derived from the Greeks or the Greeks and the Romans.
The beginning of civilization.
I guess like everything else.
Pretty much, yes. And they had to have ways to, comedy is just a way to get through life, basically, and try to make you forget your troubles.
Hey, what about comedy and art? Like, remember, comic books for one thing back in the day. I guess they still have comic books, but like Mad Magazine, Cracked.
Right. Whereas comic books in general weren't necessarily funny. Some were. Mad, yeah, like you said. Did you read Mad Magazine when you were a kid?
I did Mad all the time. And I got into Cracked too. But
which was the same publisher, right?
Oh, I don't know. Is it?
I think it was.
I wonder if they're the same now because they have websites now.
I have no idea. I'm not that familiar with Cracked. I mean, I've heard of it, but I'm not sure if it's the same. But I always liked the foldy thing at the back of the Mad Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of detail that you could stare at that for half a day and find new different things in there that you had to fold it in a certain way to get the picture to look like something else entirely than what you would see there.
Yeah, a couple folds and it made a new picture. It was some brilliant stuff and great artwork. The characters.
Can you imagine that job? That was as far as a magazine goes, you'd have to think that was your one and only job. The amount of detail that was put into the back inside cover of Mad Magazine.
Yeah, I remember always going to this used bookstore in downtown Windsor and exchanging magazines for other ones, like Mad Magazines for new Mad Magazines and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I was really into Mad.
That's a great idea. Unfortunately, the folds were already in there then. You could just easily get to it.
Oh, yeah, they would be. I don't know if we have those kind of used bookstores, very many of them around anymore, do we?
No, not in Windsor, I don't think, especially with magazines. That would be, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I'm not familiar with the more tactile media that's out there.
I think the old magazines and all that stuff was cooler back in the day.
Sure. Maybe comic books I could see. Yeah, comic books, you know, there's lots of people who collect comic books and they're waiting for the latest version of whatever comes out. I know that I follow a few people on social media and they always post their latest, you know, when they acquire something that they've been waiting for a while.
I know if you go to the Mad, I think it's madmagazine.com, you can actually order old Mad magazines still. Because I don't know if they actually make new ones or not, but I know that you can order things on there. Maybe we'll check that out a little later in the show. But right now, Fast Eddie Clark, guitar player from Motorhead, Fast Eddie Clark. And this actually features Lemmy on vocals. This is called Laugh at the Devil.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. This morning we're talking about comedy and funny stuff. You were talking about Mad Magazine earlier before the tune there, and yeah, it doesn't look like looks like you can just order old magazines.
Yeah, there's not much there on the site, really.
Yeah.
Just for nostalgic purposes, I guess.
Yeah. So have you seen a decent comedy lately yourself, Big JD?
Hmm. I want to watch one that is new on Netflix with Raymond. What about Raymond guy?
Yes.
I saw his stand-up one he had, the new one he's got on there. It was pretty good, actually. There's a new movie with him in it that's on Netflix, and I want to see that. But
Is it a movie, yeah, or is it a episodal?
It's called Paddington or something like that, or Pad
something. Yeah, that's it. I think so.
I thought it was a movie.
All right, I could be wrong.
Is it a show?
I want to say it's a show.
Oh, wow. That would be good. That idea. I like watching shorter things because even when I watch a movie, I watch it for like 15, 20 minutes and then I'm off doing something else and I come back. It takes me 3 days to watch a movie.
And what is the last one you watched that you can remember?
The last movie or comedy? Jeez. Last time we went to the theater was Mule with Clint Eastwood. The last comedy movie that I saw, I couldn't even tell you.
All right.
Don't remember. I've seen some comedy things like on YouTube and stuff like that. But what about British comedy? I find that British television shows were hilarious. I don't know about like newer ones. I've watched a lot of old ones like Only Fools and Horses. Hilarious. The Vicar of Dibley. Hilarious. And I know Rowan Atkinson has some popular stuff, but I don't really care that much for him.
All those things you just said, I never.
Oh, they're funny. British shows. What about they did a show after this one that I'm thinking of called A Little Fry and Laurie or A Little Laurie and Fry or whatever. Hugh Laurie, the guy that plays House.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's Wooster and Jeeves or Jeeves and Wooster. I forget which which way it goes, but that's a very funny show too.
And what do you think it is about British humor that's different than, let's say, Western humor?
It's all the accent. No, I don't think it's sometimes maybe the way their delivery, the way they do or say things, possibly. Have you seen a comedy movie recently?
Not really. No.
No.
No. I'm not watching many movies.
What's the last movie you saw on your Tuesday movie night? Don't you do Tuesday movie night?
No, I don't. No. Okay.
I know we talked about it like last show.
Did we?
Yeah, I think it was on the Saving Money show. We talked about going on those show nights where it's half price or whatever. And
oh, right. Yeah. Saving money.
I think
money.
It's Tuesdays around here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going out to actually see a movie. I haven't done that in a long time, but you went to the actual theater to go see Mule.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is not a comedy.
No, it's not a comedy though. Yeah. There's some funny parts in it though, actually. I think that Clint Eastwood's still great, although it is not that funny.
Speaking of not that funny, we're going to listen to a song called Not That Funny from Fleetwood Mac.
Thank you.
You are listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. We're talking about comedy this week on the show. And one thing I wanted to touch on briefly was the sitcom. So a sitcom, short for situation comedy, is a genre of comedy centered on a fixed set of characters who carry over from episode to episode. And sitcoms can be contrasted with sketch comedy, where a troupe may use new characters in each sketch, and a stand-up comedy, where a comedian tells jokes and stories to the audience. I don't find that comedies nowadays are really all that funny, or as funny as sitcoms when we were younger.
Like the Dick Van Dyke Show, or is that what you're talking about?
That's even further back than I'm thinking, I guess. But okay. I mean, like, I guess like 70s.
Mork and Mindy?
Stuff. Yeah, Mork and Mindy, Taxi.
Oh, yeah.
Sanford and Son.
Oh,
that kind of stuff is great.
And what do you think the difference is? Just it's too homogenized now? The genre has gotten too predictable? Because they used to break a lot of rules back in those days.
I don't know. I think a lot of it seems to be that the characters sometimes don't seem as real as characters did back then. Like, here's an example. I really dig the Three Stooges and the old black and white Three Stooges, right? They're hilarious, sure. I think. And it seems like that's how these guys really are. But when you watch something more modern, like the actual Three Stooges movie that came out, and right. I forget the names of the three actors that were in it. They did a great job. They're really good, but it just seems so phony. And I think a lot of comedy now seems kind of phony. It was trailing off for me after like Martin and all that kind of stuff. Like Martin was still good. And the one Wayans brother, Damon Wayans, had that show, My Wife and Kids or something, was pretty good, like for a later show. His brother's shows, it's not bad. It's okay, but just not quite the same as some of those older shows.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those ones that we used to watch, but MASH.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's kind of like a tragic comedy there, because there was always people getting hurt, and the comedy was something to help them get through. And the booze, too.
Yeah. I'm just going to take a quick look here at some of the, a quick list of, now I know 30 Rock, I think, was a popular thing. Third Rock from the Sun was a popular thing. Not for me, really. I didn't really care that much for that stuff. Remember that Elf? Elf, was that?
Yeah, that was crazy. Eh? That something like that actually was popular.
Well, that and Dinosaurs. Remember that?
Not the Mama.
Yeah, I couldn't watch that. That was just like insane.
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny though. And
it probably was. Green Acres and.
Oh, right, yeah.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, that was a great one.
Petticoat Junction.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of good stuff. People should look for those old comedies if you're a younger person that's unaware of some of those comedies. And definitely check out Only Fools and Horses. That's a British comedy show. Very, very funny. Especially all the oldest ones, but all of them are great. Elvis Costello, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
As I walk through this wicked world, searching for of insanity, I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is the only pain hatred and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I want to know, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Yeah.
you want to do a comedy duo and go perform somewhere on an amateur night?
Sure.
I'm in. Okay.
We just need some material.
Oh, that's nothing. I got a big book of it that I wrote because I went and performed at Yuck Yucks before.
Oh, did you?
I did. As a duo.
With who?
With my buddy Mark, my old bass player.
Got it on
video. I'll show you sometime.
Wow. the stuff we learn about Big JD.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Speaking of duos, a great comedy team was Cheech and Chong. And here's a tune from them, Earache My Eye.
School.
I'm not going to school.
What do you mean you're not going to school?
Just what I said. I'm not going to school.
And why not?
Because I'm sick. That's why not.
Sick? You're sick, all right. What's wrong with you now, Prince Charming?
I got an earache.
Earache my eye. How would you like a buttache? Now get your little fanny out of that bed and clean up this room. It looks like a pigsty. You hear me? All right, that's enough. That's enough. You push me far enough, young man. You're getting punished. Now stand up.
No.
I said stand up.
I let go of my hair, man.
Now, young man, I have talked to you and talked to you and talked to you till I'm blue in the face and I'm done talking to you.
Good. Does that mean you're done spitting on me, too?
Shut up. I'm not done talking to you. Now turn around and bend over.
What are you going to do, you pervert?
pervert. Why you
snotty? Oh, shut up. I haven't even touched it yet. Now I want you to know this is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me.
Oh, wow. That didn't even hurt.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, wow. What are you trying to do? Tickle me?
Tickle you? Yeah, I'll tickle you.
Ow!
Oh, is that tickle, huh? Come on, let's tickle. Come on, laugh it up, 21.
No more.
All right, now you gotta do what I tell you.
Yeah.
You gonna talk back to me?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, no.
All right. Now you get your clothes on and get your little butt ready for school. Right now, do you understand?
Yeah.
All right.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right, this is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. My guest today is comedian Mel Lusher, a.k.a. Malicious. From Ontario, Canada, she's a Border City Comedy Fest wildcard winner, has shared the stage with many pros, and is well known for shocking her audience. With no filter, no holds barred, and no way to stop her rising in the ranks, Malicious now joins me on the show. Mel, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, Big JD. Thanks for having me.
Let's start out by what got you interested in comedy, because I know that you got into comedy a little bit later in your life.
Yeah, I was considered to be a grown-up of some sort. My kids were older and they were moving out of the house, and you kind of put stuff on your bucket list. What do you want to do in your second half of life when you lose a little of the responsibility and you want to have some fun? So I literally put it on my bucket list. Like on New Year's Eve, but about 5 years ago, you make that list of stuff you want to do. And the universe had some way of just rewarding me. And I got a call a couple weeks later from a friend that was putting on a comedy show and just thought, you know what, you're funny. Would you like to come out and try your hand at this? And that was the beginning of just a wonderful adventure. So it's been 5 years.
Wow. So then when you got your start, like, what did you do to make it happen?
You know what I started out doing? It was a fundraiser at a really just a small bar in Windsor. And it was a lot of fun. And then the comedy community is pretty tight. So you kind of show up at clubs and try and get some stage time. And I really didn't get any time at the comedy club here until I had a few more, you know, open mic nights. You just go and try out your stuff. And I always have the joke that whoever I open for goes on to big success. So I opened for a big comic in LA now, Aisha Alpha, and she invited me to Toronto to do some shows with her. And that was kind of the beginning of getting a little bit of recognition in the comedy world. I did shows in Toronto, and then I brought some of the Toronto comics back to Windsor. And we used to do big fundraising shows for not-for-profits and just had a great time. Comedy is one of the best things you can do for $10 on a Friday night, unless you have, you know, too many beers. But it's a really good entertainment thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of fun. And it's funny that you actually started elsewhere. You went to Toronto. Usually people start here and they hone their skills and everything. And then finally they get to go to the big city like Toronto, and you actually started there. But you won a contest early on here too. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
A couple of years ago, there was a Border City Comedy Festival, and I had just started out. And I think my belief in myself was a little bit bigger than my talent. I tried out and I didn't make it, but they had a wild card event that they hosted so that they could have somebody even from this area, because a lot of the comics, like I said, were big names that when they win the contest, they go on to do wonderful stuff, even, you know, across Canada and the States. So there was a wild card contest that I won. And then I got to be on the big stage with some of the comics. And I think I was more excited to watch them and learn and figure out a lot of stuff. That's a really, really big stage when you're standing up there by yourself. So that was exciting, winning that contest. You know what? The next morning I was getting phone calls and stuff. I guess it was front page in the newspaper. I didn't even know it. I just thought that was fun. And then, you know, kind of went to bed. So it was really exciting. It opens up a lot more clubs and opportunities for you.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. You also juggle being a mom and you have a career job. So how does that work for you?
You know, I'm a busy woman, Big JD, and I think that every woman should get a bikini wax. I think it saves a lot of time in your day. You can get dressed faster. You can, you know, get cleaned up faster. No, you know what? I always try and say my daughters are in their 20s now, and I think they're just as much work as they were when they were two. I do have a full-time job, and I do a lot of stuff in a not-for-profit and charity world as well. And I just always joke that I really don't do any of it very well, but I certainly have a really good time. You have to kind of manage your time, you know, make sure that what has to be done gets done and that everything else really isn't important when you're out there having fun and you know, actually living your dreams. It's pretty cool to stand up and make people laugh. I think it's one of the coolest things I do.
Do you prefer a certain type of show over another? Because I know you mentioned fundraisers and I know you've done benefits and special events and then multi-comedian gigs and stuff like that. So is there something you prefer, some type of show over another? Or?
My favorite thing to do is just to be in an uncensored environment.
Unlike this show.
Everybody needs to wax their mudgy once in their life and they'll understand how much easier.
Okay, mudgy. Now, I don't know if I have to beep out mudgy or not, but I don't think so.
What was I even talking about, Big JD? My favorite venue. I think it is and to go to a comedy club and be on that stage and have your time and just have fun with it and not be censored. And you can swear and you can say some off-colored stuff and you can have a little bit of shock value there. On the other side of it, I do a lot of serious stuff and I'll MC fundraising events and I'll do a lot of stuff, and I generally do those for very close to free. If you want to give me a chicken wing and a glass of water, I'm pretty happy. A lot of these charities struggle to raise money, and I think if I have the ability to command a stage, keep things on track, help them worry about what they need to do behind the scenes, that's pretty easy for me. And I've hosted been the MC of a lot of serious, serious events. I find that's probably the most difficult one I do when you have to, you know, talk about hardships of the youth of today or even the LGBT community.
And probably tone things down a little bit, maybe?
It's more exhausting for me to be serious than it is for me to be funny.
So where do you pull your inspiration from for your jokes?
Always, always everyday life. There's always going to be some inept cashier at Walmart or the guy at Starbucks that just makes you crazy. I pull my inspiration just from those moments of life. And the funnier thing is that I pull most of the script from talking to my friends at work around in the break room
and telling funny
stories. The water cooler, yeah. When you get to develop the humor in it and when you are surrounded by really funny people, it helps. And sometimes it just comes out on stage and I get off stage and I go, did I just really say beads on stage? I can't even believe the stuff that comes out of my mouth sometimes when I'm on stage. I don't play the audience. If you heckle me, I have one or two comebacks. I don't play with the audience. Sometimes I think they're there to be entertained. It's not for me to make fun of them or for me to do anything. It's always the same sort of idea that life is ironic and life is entertaining. And you know what? Mankind's pretty dumb sometimes. And they're a lot of fun to make fun of. I think that's it. And everybody's always laughed and everybody always enjoys it. So I have a good time with it. I really do.
Except radio hosts, of course, they're brilliant. All of them are brilliant.
They got a beep button and an edit button. So I don't know. They are very brilliant when they edit themselves. I have no edit button. I have no filter, I think. So that's even more dangerous.
So who are some of the comedians that have influenced you? Any in particular that you're fond of?
It's really old school. Roseanne Barr was Ooh. Probably one of my favorites. And I was bringing up my young children probably at the same time that she was popular. And I had like a kinship with her. When you're just a single mom and you're working really hard and you're doing your absolute best, it doesn't turn out. I raised very funny, intelligent, fast children like their mother. So some of even the banter that's in my house is really entertaining. A lot of them have passed away. John Candy, some of them are just spectacular when you watch what they do. And I think Mr. Radio Show Host, you would know when you listen to somebody else's radio show. You watch.
Oh, are there other radio shows?
Not as good as yours.
Oh, now she's joking again.
I did a show a couple of weeks ago and the comics are always at the back of the room watching somebody else perform. And the headliner said to me, you know what's funny? When comedians watch a show, we don't laugh. We go, that was funny. That was funny. We're watching what they're doing and we're, you know, enjoying it on our level and a level where we know how much work it takes to get up there and to manufacture it and to present it and to make people laugh in such a a natural style in a natural way. So
yeah, that brings up a really good point. Like, I mean, even when you're watching a sitcom or something like that, are you more like listening to the jokes and the delivery and all that stuff? Or do you find yourself like bursting out into laughter?
You know what, when I'm watching like a sitcom, I'm completely zoned out and just entertained and taken in by it. And I laugh. Like,
okay.
I have a very difficult time watching stand-up comedy on TV. You have to be in the space for it to be entertained. Otherwise, that's what I'm doing, is I'm watching how they walk, what they're doing with the microphone, how they are physically present themselves. Because even when I started 5 years ago, I started at the microphone. Now I don't. I work the stage. I'm a little more physical. I kind of do interact with the audience just to have a conversation, but never to make fun of them or never to disrespect them. They're there to be entertained. But yeah, you watch somebody's style and how they command the stage, how they use the whole stage, how their timing is, how long do I wait when people are laughing to start the next line and stuff. It's a whole lot more technical than I thought, but you know, at the end of the night, it works. And I don't know how I do it some nights, and people seem to enjoy themselves. So
you certainly do it.
I do. And I'm, you know what, I'm more honored, Big JD, that you've been at a show or two of mine and you have a good time and you enjoy it. And that's all I do it for.
And what advice would you give someone wanting to become a comedian, just starting out maybe?
Don't expect perfection in the beginning. Get up and do your best. Find your style. Do as much as you can. The open mics are the best opportunity to try out new material and a new way of doing things. And just everybody's got a natural way of how they're going to perform or how they're going to speak, and just find that. People can tell when you're not honest with who you are or your comedy or anything. They can tell when it's over rehearsed, instead of just be up there and have a whole lot of fun. And then, you know, the most painful thing I do.
What's that?
I watch my show after. If somebody's taped it on their phone or somebody's done something, I am my own worst critic, but I watch my show and I'm like, oh, that was not graceful. That was not whatever. But you learn what the audience sees that may be distracting them from what you're trying to do, right?
Sure. You've kind of figured out what works.
For the most part, I'm pretty happy with what I see. Sometimes I'm more upset with what I wore on stage. I'm like, what what were you thinking? That looks horrible. I'm more concerned about that when I see the footage than I am, you know, on my timing, that, because people seem to laugh and they seem to enjoy it. And I'm going to do whatever I can with it. I'm excited about, you know, my future in comedy.
And speaking of your future in comedy, what's next for you?
There's a company in my city that brings in some of RuPaul's drag queens, and I usually host a show. Very difficult because you only have so many minutes. And sometimes they introduce a drag queen. I have 30 seconds to be my charming, wonderful, cynical self. So it's not a lot of time. I'm going to put some tours together. I was looking at the East Coast of Canada, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Nova Scotia to do. They have a branding out there called East Coast Life. Mm-hmm. And it's all positive and happy. And I was just going to go out and ruin it for them and be like an East Coast strife tour and just hit up that part of Canada and then do a summer tour out there, do like 12 weeks.
And where can listeners find Malicious on the web?
I have a wonderful company that's done some of my promotions, OMS Entertainment. So I have some YouTubes. I do have some new footage coming out. So keep your eye on that. My fan page is at Mel Lucier on Facebook. My links are there. I'm going to try and get a webpage developed shortly because this thing is really taken off. And I think I need a little more publicity and webpage. But I do have some new footage that will be coming out within the next couple of weeks.
Very cool. I really appreciate you being on You Talking to Me. I wish you all the greatest success that could ever come your way.
All right. Thanks, JD.
Thanks for being on the show. I'd like to thank Mel Lucier, a.k.a. Melicious, for joining me on the show today. I appreciate her taking time out from her busy schedule, stand-up gigs, and amazing work she does for her local community to hang out with us here on the show. And I'd like to thank our You Talking to Me listeners for listening to The Morning Show Sunday mornings online at tunein.com. And for those of you who subscribe to the Big JD and Lippo in the Morning podcast in iTunes, which also is released every Sunday morning. And The Morning Show is where you get the early You Talking to Me interview releases. And all interviews are released later in the week at podbean.com. Until next time, this is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Thanks for listening.
to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
We're back. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning, and we're getting close to running out of time here on the show, so we wanted to take a quick run through a list of comedians, some you may or may not have heard of. For the most part, these are pretty cool comedians. George Carlin, it's got to be pretty much number one.
Well, on Ranker. Ranker.com.
That's where I am. Richard Pryor.
Yep.
Amazing. Robin Williams, always on.
Pretty much, yeah.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, there's a story.
Very funny. Eddie Murphy,
yeah,
one of the greats.
He took it from stand-up to, and a very, not too many people can do that, go from stand-up and then have a really successful career, like in movies and stuff after that.
Chris Rock, same thing with him. I mean, he's done some things after in film.
Oh, for sure.
Louis C.K.
Yeah.
I think he's switched over to, didn't he just recently do a movie?
Well, he did a movie, yes.
And didn't he recently get himself in some trouble?
Yes. Yeah, well, I think the trouble started way before that, but he was a writer on Conan for at least 10 years.
Funny guy. Jerry Seinfeld, of course, one of the kings.
Yeah, all these guys are kings, I want to say.
Steve Martin.
Yeah, another
very
king.
Very funny. And a musician, too. Plays some great banjo. Yeah. Bill Burr. No,
Bill
thank
Burr?
You. Not for me. Rodney Dangerfield. He's got to be the king. Mitch Hedberg.
He was funny.
Yeah, hilarious. Died at like 30-something, 35 or something like that, though. Always jacked up on coke, but very, very, very funny. Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I find Kevin Hart pretty funny. And he's another guy that's been in movies, too.
Right. And he seems like a black comedian who acts like a white guy.
Oh, yeah?
That's the way I see him. I don't know. He has a very white sensibility about him.
Jim Gaffigan? I don't know. I don't find him.
No, he's not on my radar.
Don Rickles?
Oh, well, yeah.
He's funny from way back. Louis Black? I find him very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen Wright? I find him hilarious, but it's maybe an acquired taste.
Right. He's a grim comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Very like a dry comedy, quick one-liner type things, like observations kind of. Bill Cosby? Another guy that's gotten himself in some trouble, but quite famous.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, it's true. Me and you.
And Jim Carrey.
And Jim Carrey.
Have you seen his, he's got an episodal thing as well, Kidding.
Oh,
we're
no.
Watching that. Yeah, it's pretty
I got to check that out.
He plays like a Mr. Rogers sort of character.
Oh,
funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to see that. Is it on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to find it. The one with Michael Douglas is pretty funny, actually, if you haven't seen that. A new show with Michael Douglas and
no,
I forget
I
the other guy's name. Really, really good.
Check it out.
Norm Macdonald. I kind of find him funny.
Yeah.
Not super another, funny, but, you know.
Not super. Yeah, exactly.
Red Fox.
Classic.
Amazing. Yeah, for sure. Bernie Mac. Bob Newhart. A little wrong time for me or something. Sam Kinison. He was pretty funny. Had his own special way of delivering comedy. Zach Nakamnis. I find him to be pretty funny.
Hangover guy. That's
in
all
his
I know
own
him by.
New way. Yeah. Will Ferrell. Quite funny. Ron White, yeah. Funny. Chris Farley, hilarious. Bill Murray, another great. Mel Brooks, I mean, for his films and stuff, great.
Right.
And going down the list here, Billy Crystal, good comedian, I guess, but not the hugest thing for me. Ellen DeGeneres, Jon Stewart, not for me. Craig Ferguson, not for me. Sarah Silverman, not for me. John Candy, amazing, Canadian. And it's time to go. So yeah, there's a list just of some of the comedians. Gabriel Iglesias, Jeff Foxworthy, Bob Hope. There's so many. The list just goes on and on and on and on. And the next big comedians coming up into a town near you, Big JD and Lippo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and next week on the show, what do we got for them, Lippo?
We're going to do law enforcement.
Ooh.
Picking. I think we should put the list on like a spinning wheel and just go boom. So we're going to be talking about courts and police officers and law enforcement TV shows.
Private Eyes.
Private Eyes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Rockford Files.
Should be a fun one.
Columbo. And hey, don't forget, after almost every show, we have some little tidbit for you after the show ends, after the outro. A little Easter egg, if you will.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.
This is Elvis Costello. What's so funny about peace and understand? Play me some progression.
Okay.
Welcome you to the morning show with Big JD and Lippo. Sunday morning for your listening pleasure. There's nothing more eventful. Thank you, all our fans. Mom and Dad and Grams. Now we gotta go. Adios.